Unlike other major social and civil rights movements, LGBTQ history is barely taught in schools, if it is at all.
Are you ready for a story?
Yeah, yeah.
Hold the pass.
At last.
Scorned as a cigar-smoking, cross-dressing lesbian in England, Marion Jo Carstairs retired from motorboat racing to rule over her own island in the Bahamas.
Yeah, everything they say against us is true. We do recruit. There's one. Get him.
Let's give stupidity a chance.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Bhutan and San Marino advanced LGBTQ rights, closing the queer history gap, and the Pet Shop Boys parody political stupidity. All that and more this week, now that you've tuned in to This Way Out.
I'm Michael Lebeau.
And I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending June 8, 2019. Bhutan's 44-member National Assembly voted on June 7th to remove sections 213 and 214 of the nation's penal code that outlaw sodomy or any other sexual conduct that is against the order of nature. Reuters reported that there was only one dissenting vote. The bill now needs the approval of the tiny South Asian Buddhist Kingdom's upper house, the National Council. Rights activists are expressing confidence that it will pass there too. Finance Minister Lianpo Namgye Tsering suggested repeal of the colonial-era statutes in late May. He called them an eyesore for international human rights bodies. The Eastern Himalayan country's claim to fame is probably its gross national happiness index that promotes the well-being of Bhutan's population. The goal of creating government policy based on the perceived happiness of citizens rather than economic considerations became a guiding principle when democratic elections were first held in 2008. Before then, Bhutan had been an absolute monarchy. Activists say that cultural taboos have made queer people virtually invisible. Rainbow Bhutan spokesperson Tashi Chetan told GayStar News that, "We believe that most Bhutanese never had the proper access to information and have never seen an LGBTQ personally." Karma Dupchen is one of its few publicly out people. Dupchen told the Daily Beast that, "Growing up gay in Bhutan was a very alienating experience because being LGBTQ there is pretty much unheard of."
In one of Europe's smallest countries, voters in San Marino banned discrimination based on sexual orientation in its constitution by a more than 70% margin. The referendum was held on June 2nd. According to Euronews, no public stand was taken on the issue by the country's main conservative party, the Christian Democrats. San Marino becomes the 11th country in the world to specifically include LGBTQ rights in its constitution. That document already states that all are equal before the law without distinction of sex, personal, economic, social, political, and religious conditions. The latest action continues the evolving attitudes towards LGBTQ people in the country that about 33,500 people call home. Until 2004, a conviction for consensual adult gay sex could bring from 3 to 12 months in jail. 14 years later, lawmakers established civil unions for same-gender couples. Italian queer activist Marco Tonti has been working on the referendum with San Marino rights groups since civil unions were established. Tonti applauded the vote, saying, "I hope this exceptional success acts as a sign and a warning outside of the borders of San Marino, especially for surrounding Italy." A bill to outlaw discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity has languished in the Italian legislature for a number of years.
Hong Kong's Court of Final Appeal has ruled in favor of a gay government worker who was denied spousal benefits for his husband. Immigration officer Angus Leong legally married British citizen Scott Adams in New Zealand in 2014. But the following year, the Civil Service Bureau refused to change Leong's marital status and extend spousal benefits, including medical coverage, to his husband. Leong then filed suit. Hong Kong's top appeals court also ruled that the couple could be taxed jointly, just like heterosexual couples. The June 6th ruling of the five-judge panel was unanimous. The government argued that the protection of traditional marriage as a heterosexual-only institution was paramount. But Chief Justice Geoffrey Ma disagreed in the 32-page opinion. Ma wrote, "How is it said that allowing Mr. Adams medical and dental benefits weakens the institution of marriage in Hong Kong? Similarly, how does permitting the appellant to elect for joint assessment of his income tax liability impinge on the institution of marriage in Hong Kong? Anti-queer statutes continue to tumble there. This ruling follows the High Court striking down laws against consensual gay sex in late May. The government indicated that it would not appeal that ruling. And a British lesbian won the right for her partner to be given a spousal visa in Hong Kong last year. Leong and Adams celebrated this week's ruling, noting that it had been a long and stressful journey to get the results today. Their statement went on to say that it is not right for any individual to go through such a process to get equality rights. We urge the government to review and amend all the discriminatory legislation and policies to prevent further legal battles, which are costly, time-consuming, and unnecessary."
A U.S. gay tour operator is being threatened with death by members of the Ethiopian Orthodox Church for his plans to bring a queer group to visit the country's religious sites. Chicago-based Toto Tours President Dan Ware said that, "We come only with the greatest respect and humility." Ware said that the visit was not aimed at spreading values contrary to local cultures. "We are simply an organization where like-minded people can travel comfortably together to experience the world's most precious wonders." One of the destinations during the planned 16-day trip is the ancient pilgrimage site at Lalibela, known for its distinctive rock-cut churches. The BBC reports that the planned October tour also includes visits to religious sites in Bahir Dar, a center of Christian mysticism. But homosexual acts are punished by up to 15 years in prison in the northeastern African nation, and there is widespread hostility towards same-gender sex. An Ethiopian Orthodox Church spokesman told a June 3rd press conference that gay visitors will be damaged. They could even die. Ware responded to the threats by calling for U.S. State Department protection and support from Ethiopia's tourism ministry. He said, "This is terrible discrimination, and when word of this spreads internationally, as it is most likely to do, it will have a negative impact on the important tourism industry in Ethiopia." Toto Tours has been organizing sightseeing tours around the world for its mainly LGBTQ clientele since 1990. Ware says that he's waiting to hear from the Ethiopian government to find out whether or not they'll be allowed into the country.
In other news, the state of Texas is suing the city of San Antonio because of its refusal to include a Chick-fil-A franchise in its airport food court. San Antonio city officials made their decision after the progressive group Think Progress documented millions of dollars in donations by the fast food chicken chain to blatantly anti-LGBTQ groups in recent years. Notoriously homophobic Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton then launched what he called an investigation into whether the exclusion violates state and federal laws. Paxton claimed in a press release on June 3rd that city officials engaged in religious bigotry, noting that Chick-fil-A leaders are well known for their personal belief in the Christian faith and traditional understanding of marriage. San Antonio City Attorney Andy Segovia expressed doubts about Paxton's ability to conduct a truly objective probe. Segovia said, "It is clear from the strident comments in his press release that any investigation would be a pretense to justify his own conclusions." The Republican-controlled Texas legislature has also passed a bill that bans local governments from taking any adverse action against people or businesses based on expression of a religious belief. Governor Greg Abbott is expected to sign it. And the Trump administration is also examining the propriety of denying airport space to Chick-fil-A. The Federal Aviation Administration says it's launched an investigation into alleged discrimination against Chick-fil-A by both the San Antonio International Airport and the Buffalo-Niagara International Airport. Northern New York State's Buffalo-Niagara denied food court space to the homophobic eatery earlier this year.
And finally, Alabama has been among the Republican-governed states making news recently for passing draconian bills to make the vast majority of abortions illegal, in some cases jailing doctors who perform them or women who undergo them. Flying under the radar was Carbon Hill, Alabama Mayor Mark Chambers. Chambers has now taken down a Facebook diatribe against LGBTQ people around the world that concluded with, "The only way to change it would be to kill them out." He initially denied the post when a reporter from a local TV station asked him about it. Chambers has been the mayor of 2000 Citizen Carbon Hill since 2014. He is resisting calls to step down.
Every day when you're walking down the street.
And in another less heralded news story this week, the First United Methodist Church in Birmingham, Alabama, is hosting a wedding party to screen a censored episode of the animated Public Broadcasting Service children's series, Arthur and Friends. In the episode, Mr. Ratburn and the Special Someone, Arthur and some of his friends attend the wedding of their teacher, Mr. Ratburn, to his partner, Patrick, an aardvark chocolatier. The local PBS affiliate refused to air it because to do so would be a violation of the public trust. The church describes itself as an open place for all and is inviting everyone to the public event to watch the episode. Guests will also be treated to wedding cake and sparkling apple juice.
That's News Wrap, Global Queer News with Attitude for the week ending June 8th, 2019. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to News Wrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio YouTube channel. For This Way Out, I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
For LGBTQ people, understanding our history can be vital to understanding and embracing our place in society.
We've got a queer history-rich show this week in honor of Stonewall's 50th, and a young queer commentator will talk about why that's important after this Rainbow Minute recalls a time before the Great Rebellion.
Whale Key, Joe's Paradise Island, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. Scorned as a cigar-smoking, cross-dressing lesbian in England, Marion Jo Carstairs retired from motorboat racing to rule over her own island in the Bahamas with her leather doll, Lord Todd Wadley. In 1934, Carstairs paid just $40,000 for this 9-by-4-mile island she named Whale Key. A Standard Oil heiress, she hired nearby islanders to clear land and build roads, a power plant, schoolhouse, radio station, and even a museum that enshrined her accomplishments. She considered the workers her people, and they called her the boss. Some even believed her leather doll held voodoo powers. For 40 years in her paradise, Carstairs entertained streams of lovers, including Marlena Dietrich, for whom she had a cottage built. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, John DeBoer.
I'm Ellen DeGeneres, and you're listening to This Way Out. That was without cue cards, people.
If you think the younger generation has no interest in learning about the past, the Outcasting Overtime crew is here to correct that mistake.
This is Outcasting Overtime, from Media for the Public Good, producer of Public Radio's LGBTQ youth programs. Hi, I'm Andrew, an Outcasting youth participant. On this edition, I'm going to talk about the importance of learning LGBTQ history, whether you're LGBTQ or not. Almost everyone knows about Martin Luther King Jr., Rosa Parks, Susan B. Anthony, and Harriet Tubman. But most people probably couldn't name major figures in the LGBTQ rights movements, like Marsha P. Johnson, Harvey Milk, Frank Kameny, or Gilbert Baker. Unfortunately, there is a serious lack of awareness and understanding of LGBTQ history in our society. Unlike other major social and civil rights movements, LGBTQ history is barely taught in schools, if it is at all. I encountered brief mentions of Stonewall and Don't Ask, Don't Tell in my U.S. history textbook, but many people I know have heard no mention of LGBTQ history in their formal education. For LGBTQ people, or anyone else who wants to learn about our history, we have to teach it to ourselves. Often the only source of information is the internet, or talking to other LGBTQ people. For me, much of my knowledge of LGBTQ history has come from working at Outcasting. In the past, we've interviewed activists like Carla J., Anne Northrup, Christopher Z. Hobson, and Gilbert Baker about LGBTQ history. This month's episode is an interview I did with the journalist and activist Andy Hum, covering the progression of LGBTQ rights since the 1950s, in honor of the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprisings. You can listen to it at outcastingmedia.org. For LGBTQ people, understanding our history can be vital to understanding and embracing our place in society. Given the erasure of LGBTQ history, it's important for us to remember that we are not alone in our identities and struggles, and that people like us have been around as long as human society has, even if mainstream common knowledge tends to neglect us. Hearing about major activist figures and groups can make our own struggles seem more manageable and inspire us to rise up against our own continuing societal injustices. In addition, learning about and sharing our history is part of LGBTQ culture. It's a shared interest and shared inheritance, something that brings us together through understanding of a common history. We all stand on the shoulders of activists who came before us, and this knowledge brings us together, helping form the basis for a community that provides valuable support for our shared struggles. After my time at Outcasting, I'll go on to college armed with a vast knowledge of LGBTQ societal issues and history, which will allow me the confidence and context to join in that history, in ways however small, by standing up for my own rights and needs as a trans person in a society that often overlooks or otherizes me. Without more widespread education about LGBTQ history, not every LGBTQ person has that opportunity. In common public knowledge, LGBTQ history is seriously lacking. I've encountered so many people, probably a vast majority of non-LGBTQ people, who have never even heard of the Stonewall Uprisings, perhaps the most important and definitely the most widely known event in the LGBTQ rights movements. I almost can't even comprehend this, because to me, Stonewall is such an obvious fact of life, such a significant turning point in history. Although I see moments in history like this as so important, many non-LGBTQ people don't even realize what they don't know. It has never even occurred to them that there is a backstory to modern LGBTQ rights and acceptance, and they don't realize how much work has gone into it. Currently, there are wide discrepancies in awareness of LGBTQ history throughout society. However, it's important for everyone, LGBTQ or not, to have better education and exposure to LGBTQ history. An awareness of history counteracts the common misperception that LGBTQ identity and presence is a new phenomenon. In addition, history gives context to current struggles, stereotypes, and oppressive institutions. Understanding LGBTQ history leads to understanding of LGBTQ people, leading to more allies who are better at supporting the LGBTQ community. LGBTQ people have existed in every society and culture around the world and across all of human history. We are your friends, family, classmates, coworkers, and neighbors, and understanding us requires understanding our history. No matter who you are, celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall riots by learning about the history of the LGBTQ rights movement. Thanks for listening to Outcasting Overtime. Outcasting Overtime is a production of Media for the Public Good, which produces public radio's LGBTQ youth programs. Our executive producer is Mark Sofis. Visit us at outcastingmedia.org to get information about Outcasting, watch Outcasting videos, access our social media links, and listen to Outcasting and Outcasting Overtime. Thanks, and thanks for listening.
His story!
Her story! Our story! Gay story! History! Gay history rap!
You can follow Outcaster Andrew's advice about learning the history of the LGBTQ plus movement right now. Filmmaker John Waters taught Bill Maher a couple of details about Stonewall on HBO's Real Time. But the queer performance group Age of Consent put the complete lesson on the riots that started the modern movement to a rap beat back in 1985.
Real Time.
Basically, I try to be gaily incorrect and say, yeah, everything they say against us is true. We do recruit. There's one. Get him.
It's a big anniversary this month, Stonewall, the famous riot that happened. Yeah. Yeah. It's, if people don't know, there was a gay bar in the village.
And one that nobody went to. It was all like hustlers and hookers
and
everything.
Right?
Yeah, well, that's great. But whoever thought it was the same day Judy Garland died? Could there be that gay a day?
And is that why? So the cops had busted this place. And back then,
it was
then,
a mafia bar. Yeah,
they, but
mafia
back then, the mall, cops used to rouse gay folks.
And they would check. Drag queens had to have on one pair of men's clothes or they'd be arrested.
Oh.
So they wore jockey shorts under an evening gown.
You know.
But yeah, and they fought back for the first time.
For the first time. And you say this is because Judy Garland had just...
Well, I guess they were feeling in a bad mood or something.
Discos instead of rights.
Thank you and good night.
Thanks a lot. Happy
Thank you. Congratulations.
That was Age of Consent in 1985 doing their Gay History Rap by John Callahan. Just this week, the New York Police Department apologized for the raid on the Stonewall Inn, but the Trump administration has told U.S. diplomatic officials that they may not fly the rainbow flag from embassy flagpoles during the month of June. It's been the practice for a number of years. Speaking of stupidity, a cut from the latest EP by the Pet Shop Boys is right on point, especially with some appropriate illustrations.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States!
I will do everything in my power to protect our LGBTQ citizens.
Intelligent people have had their say. It's time for the foolish to show the way. Let's leave this wild, a merry dance. Let's give stupidity a chance. We've heard quite enough of experts and their dealings. Why face the facts? Feelings. Let's leave this world a merry dance.
just remember, what you're seeing and what you're reading is not what's happening.
Forget political correctness, I mean WTF. I don't want to think about the world, I want to talk about myself.
I'm a very stable genius.
I said the word would instead of wouldn't.
It's a little bit sad. I'm proud to tell you that was actually my sick idea.
Instead of governing with thoughtful sensitivity, let your gun all. Lead this world a merry dance and give stupidity a chance.
Very fine people on both sides.
You say corruption, I say justified reward. Keeps the cronies loyal, chairman of the board. Let's lead this world a merry dance and give stupidity a chance.
Since the founding of our nation, many of our greatest strides, from gaining our independence to abolition of civil rights, have been led by people of faith and started in prayer.
Forget political correctness, let's talk man to man. Cheeks are always up for it, you gotta grab whatever you can.
Oh, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab by the...
We need a leader who knows that money means class. With an eye for a peach perfect piece of... Not a total dumb clock, just one of the guys. Let's give stupidity a prize.
The worst tragedy in the history of this country. This American carnage stops right here and stops right now.
Let's lead this world a merry dance and give stupidity a chance. Let's give stupidity a chance.
Believe me.
Believe me.
Believe me.
Believe me.
Believe
me. To me, it's a dirty word, the word impeach. It's a dirty, filthy, disgusting word.
It will happen, and it probably should happen.
It was all a hoax.
That was Give Stupidity a Chance by the Pet Shop Boys. With an extra vocalist, we don't think we'll be invited to officially join the band. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Michael LeBeau and Tanya Kane Berry, produced by Brian DeShazer, and from John DeBoer, produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns. Andrew's Outcasting Overtime feature was produced by Mark Sofus. Age of Consent and the Pet Shop Boys performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks to the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, Christopher Matthews, Richard Merck, and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley, and all of the listener donors who make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For associate producer Lucia Chappelle and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on KGNU Denver, Colorado, 2NUR Newcastle, New South Wales, WPSB Kane, Pennsylvania, and some 200 stations and other outlets around the world, including this one. Stay tuned.